I want to talk today about engaging God the Father, and this involves, I'll share some background to that from the Word of God, but I want to share my story and how God has sort of, over a period of years, brought me back into a relationship with the Father. So some of the testimony is already great in regard to that. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning there was God. Nothing else, just God. But God was not alone. He was in relationship, Father, Son, Spirit, in perfect relationship with each other. And then before they created anything else, there was a desire to share that relationship. And the first person they shared that relationship or created being was wisdom. Proverbs 8:22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established. When he established the heavens, I was there. Then I was beside him. I was his delight, rejoicing always before him. God has always wanted relationship, and he established that with a created being that we know as wisdom. Then he went further than that. And when he began to create the order as we know it, the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, who created them. So God has desired all of us to come into relationship with him. And that relationship does have a purpose behind it, that God wants us to enjoy that relationship, but share his heart and outwork his desires and purpose. In Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. So that is our sonship mandate. But if we don't have a relationship with God, it's very difficult to outwork that mandate. And if we don't have a relationship with God as Father, then it's very difficult to know what it is to be a son or a child of God. So from the beginning, everything was about engaging God in that relationship. Adam and God walked with God in the garden, in fellowship, in relationship. Then something went wrong. Adam decided he knew better, and he was tempted to make a decision to do it his own way rather than God's way, and walked out of that relationship. Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And that is a sad thing, that many of us are still hiding ourselves away from God because of fear, because of what we may feel about ourselves. And then the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Now notice, when Adam sinned, God didn't say, what did you do? He wasn't focusing on the thing that he did. He said, where are you? He wanted to know where he was because he was still looking for a relationship. And if Adam hadn't hidden the bushes and tried to cover up what he'd done, but rather had gone to God and run to him, that relationship would have been restored. But it wasn't. So Adam fell from the realm where he could walk with God in Eden, God's garden, his heavenly garden, earthly garden together. Now, to deal with that, I want to share a couple of things with that. To deal with it, Jesus came as a man to restore that walking relationship with God so we could again walk with God, have a relationship of intimacy with him. And notice I said walking relationship, not working relationship. Because very often religion puts us into a working relationship, having to do things to earn the favor and right to be in a relationship with God. And God is giving it to us as a free gift. We don't have to earn it. The relationship is always comes before working with him. Now notice I said working with him, not for him. See, when you work with someone, you work alongside them in a relationship. When you work for somebody, you have to work according to everything that they say. And God has called us to be sons in a relationship with him that walks alongside him in intimacy. So we're not slaves, we're sons. We're not servants, although we could have a servant heart. We're co-heirs with Jesus for establishing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's why Jesus came, to restore our relationship with the Father. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But everyone can come to the Father through Jesus. It's available to us all the time. Now, we have a piece of legislation or a law that God gave us that authorizes us here in this place people here where fatherhood and sonship can be restored and experienced. And the testimony earlier was a great example of that. Where reconciliation, restoration can take place, destiny can be discovered and fulfilled in relationship, not outside of relationship. So we need to establish that relationship. And this is what the law was. The law of fatherhood and sonship, I call forth the spirit that turns the hearts of the children back to their father. I call forth a new dimension of intimacy and relationship in sonship. I call forth the alignment in the spirit with the four faces of God, the lion, the ox, eagle, and the man, the relationship that God calls us back into in terms of being sons in authority. We all begin being separated from God. We all carry rejection within our soul from the beginning. And usually that situation is exacerbated by all the things that happen in our lives through other relationships, damage, hurt, that come because we need relationship. Relationship is something that's built within us. It should be fulfilled in our relationship with God, but we obviously look for it in other places because we're separated from God. So the root causes of many of our problems lie in our childhood, because that's where we learn about relationship. And we're all affected in some way or other by our upbringing. Sometimes it's good and we're affected positively, but often it's not so good because no one is perfect and most of our parents aren't perfect. So we're all influenced by the parenting of those who brought us up. Now that can seriously and severely still be affecting us now. How we view life, how we feel about life, how we see ourselves, how we see the world, can be affected by how we were shaped as we were brought up. And all of us are affected by that. So restoration of relationship with God and others is the very central feature of all history. And we could say even our time has a central feature before Christ, after Christ. So the cross, when Jesus came and died for us and to bring restoration and reconciliation, is the very center of our history. And when it becomes the center of our personal history, it can change our past and totally transform our future by affecting us in the present. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus returns and he's coming back at some stage, he wants us to be in a place where spirit, soul, and body were completely restored and made whole back to original condition. So that means that with a reconciled, restored relationship with God, a process of healing of our soul, spirit, body can take place. But without God, we're unable to see that take place and we're left to self-help. You know, and there are a lot of self-help books out there and a lot of them are interesting, but without the higher power, if you like, and many of you understand about a higher power, but actually we know within ourselves we haven't got the power to change and transform. So we need something outside. And when we have a personal, intimate, reconciled relationship with God himself, that enables us to go through a process of healing and restoration. Now, there are some really good scriptures that talk about our relationship with God. 1 John 1:12, all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. So every one of us who knows Jesus has the right to become God's children. We don't have to earn it. We've been given it. 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. It's all about his love for us. He loves us so much that he wants the best for us. Therefore, he doesn't want us to stay affected by the things that have happened to us in our past, but to be healed and restored from them. Romans 8:14 talks about being adopted as God's children. You know, we've not received a spirit of slavery, but instead God's spirit that has adopted us into his family. Romans 8:15, you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. So the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So this amazing restoration brings us back into something which is way beyond any of us can really imagine or think when we look at our natural childhood. Romans 8:29, It was always God's intention. So God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God has always wanted family. And so he's wanting a large family. He wants, in fact, the whole world and everyone who's ever been born to be part of his family, because he desires none to perish. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of that truth. Now, when we look at an example of a father-son relationship, Jesus and the Father is the best one we can see. And we can see that is a perfect relationship of sonship and fatherhood when we look at how Jesus and the Father related. John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In that day, you will know that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. That was the day of resurrection when Jesus came back to restore relationship. And in verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home or abode with him. So God promises actually to come and live with us and live in us and restore something of relationship that means we're not orphans. We're not operating in that whole sense of being alone, separated and on our own. So along with the rights of relationship comes responsibilities. And the responsibilities of that relationship are when we're born again, we're born into a royal family. It's not any old family, because God is the king, creator of everything, brings us into a royal family. So we have responsibility then to be a representative of that family on the earth so that others can see what God's like through our relationship with him. So our relationship with God must be restored if the world is going to see what that relationship's like. Romans 8:19 says, for the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. So everything's waiting for us to come into our sonship. We can't come into sonship unless we come into a relationship with the Father. Being part of a royal family actually gives us access to the palace, if you like. If you were adopted in today's royal family, you wouldn't have to queue up outside the palace. You'd have access to it. So all of us, in our case, means we have access to heaven and with God's presence, where God dwells within us, and where he dwells, we can be with him, because we have access being part of his family. Hebrews 4:16 describes this access. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have access to come to God who wants to help and meet our needs. We just have to draw near. But many of us don't draw near because of our past, and our relationship and the things that have happened to us stops us drawing near. If we draw near, we have all the resources available for us to help in everything we do, just like Jesus, who was God's first son, if you like, being God as his only begotten son. Now we can come into that same relationship. So that John 5:19 describes how Jesus and the Father work together. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. So Jesus never wanted to do anything independently of his relationship with the Father. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. It's like we have a relationship with God as Father, and that enables us to be like him. And you see that in children. You know, they want to be like their parents. We have a destiny to fulfill, so we all need to see what the Father's doing if we're going to be able to do that. And it takes relationship to do that. Ephesians 1:4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So God has a destiny for us that can only be outworked if we're restored back into relationship as sons. Adoption actually means we're chosen. So you're born into a natural family, you haven't got any choice, you know. But actually, in God's family, he chooses us because he wants us. Because we're all special to him. Every one of us is special to him, and he wants us in relationship, which is why he went to such lengths to send Jesus to die for us. So the spirit of adoption, when we come into that relationship, enables us to call God Abba or Father or Daddy, to come back into an intimacy. So God wants us to know him as Father, but the biggest obstacle to that is what's happened with our own parents, particularly our fathers, who probably have not been the best examples of fatherhood. So we all carry some sort of wounds. We all carry the effects of that, and therefore sometimes that can stop us finding out what God is really like, because we project onto God what we've experienced in our own lives. And that can cause us to be separated and to hide from him. So the law of fatherhood gives us the opportunity to be restored and reconciled as sons and to come into a whole new dimension of intimacy. Because you can't be a son or a child without having a relationship with a father. God does not want us to feel like orphans. And even when we're Christians and when we come into a relationship with God, we can actually still feel like orphans because of our own earthly father relationships. They may not have been there physically or emotionally for us in the way that God wants to now. So our past experiences affect our present and our future if we're not dealt with and healed, and God wants to heal them. Colossians 1:19 says, "It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him," talking about Jesus, "and through Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth and things in heaven." So God wants to restore everything so that we can come back into the fullness of that relationship. We can all be set free. We can all be restored to know our true identity as children of God. We can all have that God-shaped hole in us filled with a relationship with God himself as a loving father. Now, we may have tried to fill that emptiness and the pain of rejection we have in our emotions with many substitutes. Substitute relationships, or we use painkillers of various description or prescription to cover and mask the feelings that we have about ourselves and how we've had a life and how we've been in that life. So the world offers us lots of things, other relationships, success, money, power, position, work, and we sort of chase after those things because those are things that the world says, hey, these will make you feel better. These will give you some sense of fulfillment or, you know, in terms of your own self-identity. We may have used those things to fill a hole, but often they just make the pain feel worse because they can never fill a gob-shaped hole with something else which isn't God. Now we can self-medicate with many things to ease the pain or to take the edge off our emptiness and the way in which we've been treated. Alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, pornography, power, work, exercise, food, shopping, etc., etc., etc. You've probably got your own self-medications that you've used to try and make yourself feel better in your life. They haven't really worked. And they never can work because God's the only solution to a God-shaped problem. So all the things that we've used offer false hope, often leave us feeling broken, damaged, hurt, maybe angry, rejected, and addicted to those things. So we feel empty, hollow, hopeless, and disillusioned with life. That's not a very nice place to be. That's why we don't like feeling that way. That's like why we try and get everything we possibly can to stop feeling that way. See, we're still not finding the answers that we're really looking for. Now, every one of us has our personal stories. Yeah, we all have a testimony, we all have a life, we all have experiences that have affected us. You may never have had a father or mother. You may have been abandoned at birth, you may have been adopted. You may not even know what it is to have a father or mother. That can leave you totally bereft and feeling abandoned. You may have had a substitute father, you know, many of them in some relationships. You may have feelings of anger or bitterness or resentment towards your parents. Or actually, you may have rationalized your life and have no surface emotions at all. But underneath, they're all there. But there is hope. Every one of us here who knows Jesus is in that process of discovering what it is to have that hope. Healing, reconciliation, restoration of relationship. That hope is in Jesus, who came to restore that relationship with the Father. Most of us are still in that process of learning what it is to be fathered properly. You know, we're not at the end of the journey. We're on the journey, and we're all a working process. Now, sometimes you look at people and think, oh, they got it all together. You have no idea what's going under the surface. Because we often put a nice face on for people and cover up, but underneath we could be in a total mess and in turmoil. But God knows exactly where we are right now, and he wants to meet those needs and bring healing to where we are individually, not a job lot, none of us is a job lot. If you were the only person ever to be born, Jesus would have died for you. That's how much he cares for us as individuals. So I want to share in my own personal journey with this and how God has restored my relationship in fatherhood over the years. And it took a long time because I was pretty backward in dealing with these things. So my earthly father came from a broken home. So at a very early age, he didn't have a father as a role model. Now, I realize from some of the things he passed on to me spiritually, he probably felt rejected, he probably felt abandoned, he probably made judgments that later came upon him. So from my experience and all the generational issues I've had to deal with, I know that he must have been in a position of need and emotional pain. So I started off with a disadvantage because he started off his life with a disadvantage, and that's how things get passed on from generation to generation. So my father was not really effectively able to show me love. And that was not his fault in one sense, because he had no role model for himself. But that didn't stop it affecting me negatively. And I can rationalize and say, well, it wasn't his fault. He didn't have a very good start. So I can rationalize it and then not deal with it. But it didn't mean that the way he affected my life, he was still to blame to a degree. So I have to deal with that relationship. So he never told me he loved me, that I can ever remember. He never really communicated much at all with me. I still can't remember having a real conversation or any real physical affection type with him. He never really came to watch my school activities or sports or showed really any interest. Now, that's just normal life. You know, we all live a normal life. That's it. We don't know any different from what we have. But that normal life is not normal from what God's perspective is. God wants it to be different than that. So I was not abused physically or verbally in that way, but I was deprived emotionally, which has an equally serious effect. So I was deprived of a father's love and of his emotional presence. So actually I sought out the comfort of other relationships because I had a need which was unmet and unfulfilled. So I needed that need met, so I tried somewhere else. Now, my uncle and auntie were a good sort of place I used to go to until they had their own children. And then, not that I felt this, but I probably felt abandoned in that that was something that was different from what I had with my own dad. And then from an early age, I sought relationship with girls. I used the relationship with girls to try and substitute for that hole in my emotions. For some people, they look for boys and they look for a substitute father relationship. But for me, it was girls. Those relationships with girls actually caused more damage and hurt and pain and rejection for me and probably for them. But I needed them to fill the emptiness, so it was worth the pain to have the instant gratification of pleasure inside emotionally. Now, you know, you don't know those things go on, but they just do. And you get driven. And I was driven emotionally. So the relationship actually with my uncle and auntie led to my salvation experience because they took me to Sunday school and church meetings and things like that. And eventually when I was about 12 in September 1970, I became a Christian. Now, it would have been wonderful if everything got sorted out at that day, but actually it didn't. In fact, it wasn't really a very emotional experience at all. It's just something I did. I believed, never doubted it, but there wasn't really a connection because emotionally, I wasn't connecting. So I invited Jesus into my life. I then prayed to him or to the Lord, never to the Father. You know, I never really connected to the fact that God was a Father. You know, the Bible's full of it, but you can completely read something and not see it at all. You know, and that's how we live often. You know, right, it's right there in front of us, but we can't see it. I couldn't see it. And therefore, I had a great relationship with Jesus, or as good as it can be as a teenager. But I still had needs that weren't being met emotionally. God could have met them, but I wasn't able to receive them. Then I had my first sort of long-term relationship was about 6 months in 1974, which was my O-level year. Not the best time to go into a relationship, really. GCSEs for your younger. And then in the summer of that year, just before my O-levels, I can remember I went to visit this girl who lived 20-odd miles away on the bus, went there on the bus. I cut her grass. She asked me to cut her lawn. Got blisters on my hands. I can remember it really vividly because God brought it all back, showed me it. And she then said, oh, the summer's coming, so I think we need a break. Now, I was like absolutely devastated. I mean, I cried and cried and cried and sort of manipulated her emotionally to say, okay, we won't, you know, but we did. Now, on the way back on the bus, I vowed. And in her vow, I was never going to be hurt like that before. And when you make a vow like that on an emotional level, it's really, really powerful. And it was really, really powerful for me. So essentially, emotional shutdown. A protection mechanism that I used, I became guarded and closed emotionally towards what I was able to give out and receive. So I put a barrier around my heart, which protected me from all the hurt and the damage. So I kept people at arm's distance, but I still had a real need, so I still chased after relationships. You know, it kept me safe to a degree, but also kept me locked up in a non-emotional prison. My prison was non-emotions. Therefore, I never really felt hurt or anything on the surface. But obviously, what you deal with on the surface is not what goes on the inside. I thought it was actually a strength to be really thick-skinned and not able to be hurt. You know, actually, you are hurt. You just don't feel it. You know, eventually, you have to deal with it one way or another. So I became very logical, analytical sort of person. You know, using my intellect, I packaged things up in a way mentally that meant I didn't have to deal with them emotionally. So I used various situations, God used various situations to highlight this in my life and to bring me into a process of healing, that restorative process in my life. Now, I couldn't have done that myself because I just couldn't see it. You know, it's like I couldn't see that that was how I was. That's just how I was. And most of us are like that until something comes in and opens that up. It may be an experience. It may be a person, maybe a verse in the Bible. Could be lots of things. For me, it was situations. Now, in my own family, God used that. And one day, you know, when I had children, first child, who was Hannah, she was very forward in terms of talking. And I was sitting on the settee in our den room, and she came toddling up to me, looked me straight in the eye, and said, "Daddy, I love you." Now, she was about 15, 16 months old. Now, I'm looking at her, and I told her I loved her lots of times. Looked at her, I froze. It's just emotionally, it was just like, yeah, I was just wrecked. And because I didn't know what to do. You know, I did not know how to handle that. You know, and it challenged me. And it challenged me so much that I actually started to try and find a way to get it sorted out. You know, and over a period of time, God led me to people who could help in certain ways. You know, so all those things, you know, I protected myself, guarded myself, locked up so I couldn't really feel a relationship and emotional love with God either in the way that he wanted me to have. Now, every one of us have got things like that that are obstacles in our lives that will stop us experiencing intimacy with others and with God. We need to deal with them. For me, there were many levels of that, and the root issues were father issues. That was what was underneath everything on the surface. Everything was connected to my woundedness in fatherhood and sonship, because that was the real wound that caused me to go into other situations that ended up me being hurt. So over the years, God met me in various encounters, and he used those encounters to heal my heart. So the first time, I was in a small group of people in a friend's house, and we were just worshiping God. First time I ever saw an angel. In fact, say exactly the same thing. I saw this angel looking from the sort of top of the ceiling, you know, and I was like, whoa, did I imagine that? You know, because it was one of those fleeting glimpses, and it was like, you know, and then God spoke to me, said, "I'm your father." Now, I froze, like, didn't know what to do. Yeah, because, you know, I didn't actually know what to do. Then I struggled with that concept so much. So he just put his arms around me. And I actually felt physically his arms around me. So I felt the Father's arms around me in love. And I felt his presence, and that broke something. Because I'd had an experience. See, I could have read the Bible, I could have listened to sermons, I could have done 101 things, but without an experience, I had no testimony. And that was my first testimony of an emotional and an experience of God as Father reaching out and putting his arms around me and loving me. So that root issue was the Father thing, but on the surface there was lots of rejection. You know, so I started to receive help to deal with my emotional damage. So two main issues came up. One was the issue with this girl that I'd vowed. You know, people used to pray for me, and they would describe it as praying for a block of granite. That's how it felt like to them. And it was like, because things used to bounce off, you know, and I had a lot of knowledge of the Bible, so I would bounce things off as well. You know, it's just like they would say something, truth, scripturally, and I'd come up with a scripture that actually deflected it, because that was how it was. But I learned to forgive and release people and become free by doing that. And when I had ministry over that issue with the girl and the heart, it all came back. Like the whole thing, I just like Becky was sharing earlier about reliving an experience. I relived it and I felt it, and I had to choose to forgive and release her. Now, when I did, it broke open something in my emotions. And a lot of hidden emotions over the past, 20 odd years afterwards, all came to the surface. Now, as you can imagine, most of them were not good ones. You know, so I began to feel very negative. So when you go through a process, don't be surprised if a whole lot of negative things come out. They have to come out. It's just not very pleasant for those around you necessarily. And I didn't really know how to handle them. So Deb had to put up with a fair bit. I felt attacked and vulnerable because for years I was unable to be hurt and thick-skinned. All of a sudden, that thing had been removed. Now I'm feeling everyone's having a go at me. You know, so it was a very disorientating time. But actually, it brought me into a degree of wholeness, so I had to get over my defensiveness. You know, so my emotions began to open up, and then that led to the deeper father wound, because I still didn't have any idea that the root of my issue was a father wound. So God started to break in on that, and I began the process of forgiving and releasing my dad for all that I was owed, because I realized that he'd never really been a dad. You know, so I struggled to connect emotionally with that. I was doing it by choice because I knew it was the right thing to do. So I knew it was a good thing to forgive, and I chose to forgive, but I wasn't connecting. And then I had a picture. I had a picture when someone was praying me of a picture, and it was a picture that used to be in our house, and it was a picture with me as a little boy with a little red bow tie sat on my dad's knee. But that picture was a pose, because I never actually did it in reality that I can remember. So this really, really got me emotionally, that my whole relationship with him had been a complete sham and a pose. And God used that to open up my emotions. So I then forgave and released in an emotional way, although no emotions really came out. I felt emotional, but nothing really came out. So then I released that. And I was able to go to my dad while he was alive, and I forgave him. I told him I forgave him. I told him I loved him, and I gave him a hug. Now, he froze, as you can imagine. He didn't know what to do. He didn't respond. But for me, I'd done what I needed to do, and I was on a journey to freedom and restoration. Then in 1994, and this stuff was sort of in 1992, 3. So in 1994, I was up here in a meeting in the Castle Center in town, on a Wednesday evening, doing some basic foundations before we were going to move up here to start the church. And there were a whole load of people, and we were worshiping, and I all of a sudden just broke open emotionally. Like every emotion just flooded out. I was absolutely in torrents of tears, wailing uncontrollably on the floor. Now, you know, I can imagine those people, because I know they are, were thinking, oh, what do we do? You know, he's supposed to be speaking in a minute. You know, it's like, you know, fortunately, they didn't do anything. They just left me. And that was the right thing to do, because all the emotion that was pent up, which had not been released before, all came out. And I wailed and wailed and wailed. It stopped. I got up and I felt wonderful. You know, it was just like all that burden and all that weight just lifted off. And I got up and spoke and carried on, you know. And in 1996, where we were worshiping, and God often meets us in times of worship. And I remember Mike Collins, who was a saxophone player, played this note. And on this note, my eyes were closed. I just ascended on this note to a place that now I know is heaven. It was a vision that I went in fully, and I was on the Father's knee, you know, in a true father relationship. And he bounced me around. He played with me. It was an amazing restoration of everything that I didn't have for my earthly father. And it was wonderful, you know, and I thought, well, great. This is an amazing experience. But it was part of my journey. It wasn't the whole thing. So I continued developing a relationship with God as Father over the years, you know, in many ways, talking to him and experiencing him, you know, and I felt healed and restored to the degree that I knew. You know, I didn't know that there was more, you know, but there was. So for all of us, all our previous hurts, our past experience, they can all cause us to protect ourselves. That can prevent us fully entering into what God has for us and who we are, and knowing who we are in him. There may be many things that highlight that or reveal that to us. For me, it was situations that opened that up. For you, it might be different things. You know, you may find it difficult to be open with people. You may be very prickly with people to keep people at arm's length. You may reject people first so you don't get rejected. We all have ways of dealing with these things. But if you see these sort of symptoms, see it as, hey, there is stuff I still need to be healed from. You know, actually, when we come together here, you may find it difficult when we have praise times with the more intimate songs. Now, sometimes, you know, when we're jumping around and we're having a great time and we're dancing and it's like we get caught up in the emotion of that and it's great. And then it sort of calms down and you get that quietness and we start to sing more intimate songs. I see some of you go and sit down. Now, you go and sit down because it's like sometimes you might just want to go and sit down because you want to enjoy that intimacy. Some of you sit down because you don't know what to do with it. You know, we sing songs about meeting God face to face or engaging with the Father's heart or drawing nearer or deeper or closer, being more intimate with him, and we struggle. If you're struggling with some of those things, it's really probably a highlighted that there's issues still need dealing with, still have wounds. Now, in June 2010, I went to a conference down at Torquay, and on the way down there, God spoke to me and said, I want this time just to be for us. Don't talk to anyone, don't pray for anyone, don't get prayer, just spend this time with me. So I went as Mr. Anonymous, and I just sat there. And the first note of the music, just something changed. It's like it opened up a whole new dimension of intimacy and desire in my heart. Just completely changed something. You know, and it's like for the 2 days, you know, I was only going down for the day, but I stayed for the whole 3 days because it was such an intense experience. And on the way back, God asked me to engage in a 40-day fast. And the whole thing of love, it just opened up a whole new level that I never knew existed. I thought everything was okay. But this opened up a completely new level. And God then said about a 40-day fast. So in August 2010, I went on this fast. And yeah, my testimony is out there about that fast. But the one particular point I want to share about that was, I thought I dealt with all the father wounds and all those issues. And then Jesus came to me, and I'd been engaging in heavenly experiences for days. And I was engaging with heaven, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, but I hadn't engaged with the Father. And Jesus came up to me and said, you've not met the Father. Now, I knew that to be true. You know, I'd not met the Father in heaven. I'd experienced him on earth. I'd engaged him lots of different ways, but I'd not experienced him in this series of heavenly experiences. And Jesus said, it's because you have a father wound. Now, I started to argue. You know, it's not a good thing to argue with God. You never win the argument. But I started to argue. It's like, I've forgiven everybody. I've forgiven my dad. You know, I've had ministry. You know, I've met with the Father before. You know, and I sort of arguing with him. And Jesus then said, no, you have a father wound. And he said me to look at my own heart. And I looked down, and there was this huge scar. So the scar tissue was still there. It wasn't open. It wasn't an open wound, but it was still there. And then he asked me, will you let me heal it? And I was like, at this point, he's like, yeah, do whatever, you know. And for 40 minutes, the Father came. I think it was sort of 40 minutes in this earthly time. Could have been 40 years in heaven. It's like, you know, but, you know, he came and he spoke to me. And all he said was, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, I love you, over and over and over again. And every time he said it, every word he spoke just remove some of that scar until it had completely gone. You know, and then I had such wonderful relationship with the Father. I went into his garden. I had an amazing time of the throne of grace and sitting on his lap and just enjoying a father's love. It's what he wants every one of his children to have, a deep, deep intimacy and relationship with the Father. So all my experiences of healing over the years brought me back to zero from, let's say, minus 100. You're maybe a minus 1,000 for your own life. It could be minus 10, whatever it might be for you. For me, it brought me back to zero. So I was restored. But then I needed to be fathered. You see, I began to see also in that my own woundedness had caused my children to be wounded. You know, not intentionally, but it does. You know, so I had to deal with that and be forgiven and healed from that also. And that's not easy. So I know I needed to be fathered because I'd never been fathered. You know, I had many encounters with God, but I'd not been fathered by him because I didn't know how. Now I was in a position where I could be. And since then, he's done that. Now, I used to think that people would describe intimacy and they'd just describe it in warm fuzzies. You know, those warm, fuzzy feelings of, oh, isn't it great to be in God's arms of love? And I've had those experiences. But actually, I was really comparing my engagements with God with that. And there was something where I felt, well, it doesn't really line up. You know, I'm not sort of getting the best. What's going on? And one day God spoke to me and he asked me, how do you feel my love? Simple as that. How do you feel my love? And it's like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, when do you feel most loved? And I was like, okay, when you spend time with me. When you talk to me, when we sit and you share things with me, that's when I feel loved. I feel special. I feel you're giving me quality time. Now, there are lots of languages of love, and there's a whole book series out there about languages of love in terms of relationships. Some people, it's physical affection. Some people, quality time. Some people, words of affirmation. Some people, gifts, acts of service that makes people feel loved. For me, it's quality time with God. That made me feel loved, and it realized that when I just sit with him, it's God loving me, and it's him fathering me and showing me what it is to be fathered. So for all of us, by virtue of being adopted back into God's family, we've all been given something, an opportunity, a new name. You're no longer a slave, you're a son. A new legal standing or status, you're accepted. You're no longer alienated or condemned. A new family relationship. We've got access to God's presence within and in heaven. A new image. Every one of us has been given an image of Christ. And God wants to draw us into that. Now, the enemy can stop your sonship if he can stop your father relationship. You know, we can't be revealed as sons if we don't have a father. God wants you to know him as your heavenly father. You know, my relationship is my testimony. You've all got your own testimonies, and God wants you to have your own relationship. Question is, will you let God father you today? Every one of us has an opportunity of that. There's a wonderful story in the Bible that describes that process. It's called the prodigal son. And in that story is this guy who takes his inheritance and goes and wastes it and messes it up in the world in, you know, wine, women and song and other stuff. You know, and he then gets into a difficult situation where he's got no money left. He gets hopeless and he ends up with the pigs, feeding the pigs. Now, for a Jew, that was not the best place to be because they're unclean animals. So he had this revelation, hey, it would be better in my father's house as a servant than it is here feeding the pigs. So he decided to go back home. And when he went back home, it was to be, in a sense, a picture of how God is waiting for us to come back home. And we all have free will to choose what we do with our life. And he wants to restore us, but we have to choose. And in this story, he chose to come back. And the father was waiting for him to come back. He was looking out there, waiting for him to come. Look, scanning the horizon day after day. Will my son come back today? Now, God's like that with us. He's waiting for us to come back because he wants to reconcile, heal us, restore us, and make us whole. Luke 15:20 is where the story comes from. And it says, So he got up and came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. That is the story of a loving father more than a prodigal son. And God wants us to experience that story. And you can experience that story today. We may need to forgive and release our own parents, our own fathers. We may need to go through a process of restoration, but there's hope. Today, every one of us can meet God as Father. We all have an opportunity of coming closer to him. I want to encourage you to think about that. And we're going to do an activation. And in this activation, I want you just to engage. Don't try and make something happen. But God's here. You know, God's here with us. You may have never known God personally, other than your higher power or even as a swear word. So he's inviting you to come to meet with him today, because he's here in the spirit and you can engage him in the spirit. You know, you may know God, but still feel wounded or rejected, have unmet emotional needs or have unhealed emotional hurts. You can meet with God and he can begin that healing process. You may be carrying guilt and shame about your own children and how you've lived and how it's affected them. You can come to the Father and let him remove your burden of guilt and shame. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Whatever you're carrying, you can hand it over to him today. See, God is willing and able and desires to meet all our needs in his relationship. Who am I? Where do I come from? Why am I here? What's my purpose? All those deepest questions, the longings of our soul, they're looking for a reconnection with our eternal spiritual experience, and God can make that available. So I want to encourage you to just close your eyes and activate the eyes of your heart. Just begin to picture the Father. You may struggle with the Father, so picture Jesus, because Jesus will take you to the Father. Just picture him standing before you, waiting for you to come to him. Now just think, if you've never come to him before, think of all the worst things that you've done in your life, all the things you're most ashamed of, those things that no one else knows. And just put them all together in a rucksack that you're carrying. All those negative feelings and emotions, just package them all up. And the Father is waiting for you with open arms. But you have to let go of those things. Just cast them all at his feet. And just let him embrace you. Just let him put his arms of love around you. Let him put clean clothes on you. A ring of sonship on your finger. Feel the pleasure of his heart. The joy he has for you coming back to him. Just let him release his forgiveness to you. You may want to just say, I'm sorry. But he knows your heart. Let him forgive you, cleanse you, reconcile you, remove all the barriers in your mind, in your emotions. Just come to him. Just hear his words speak to you now. I love you. I accept you. I affirm you as my child, as my son. I approve of you as my child and my heir. Just hear those words. You are my sons, and him I am well pleased. It is my good pleasure to bless you and empower you, to heal you, to prosper you, to restore you. Just spend a few moments in his presence. Maybe you still have wounds. Just allow God to reveal those father, those parental wounds. And as he shows you the scars maybe that you carry, allow him to heal and remove that. Again, just hear him speak, I love you. 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 Just hear him speak to you. I forgive you, my children. Please forgive those who hurt you, who may have disappointed you, let you down, abandoned you, rejected or abused you. Choose to forgive them. Be free from the past. Just hear his words as parents. I forgive you, my children, for your failures as parents. Receive my forgiveness. Let me remove your guilt and shame and condemnation. Let me lift off the weight and burden you've been carrying. Feel my love and acceptance and affirmation of you as a parent. Just allow God to heal and restore you, make you whole. Some of you who know how to engage where he is can step into that realm of his presence. Let Jesus take you to meet the Father in the realm of heaven, in that pure place of intimacy and relationship. Just engage with him. This may just be the beginning of your journey, maybe a milestone on your journey. But don't run or try and hide from the emotions that may come up. Be willing to embrace them. Let others help you to deal with them. Today, there's a whole ministry team here. If you need help, if you need prayer, if you need someone to stand with you, to help you through these things, then there are people here willing to do that. As we go into a time where we go into a time of worship, again, open up your heart and allow God to meet with you. so that you can be restored and made whole, that you will have your own testimony of that journey where God brings you back and restores intimacy with Father and Son.